bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam.
What's wrong, Wendy? You seem out of sorts. Everything all right? Tell me.
Listen, I spend a lot of money on the perfume that I wear.
Yep.
It's
Ginette.
Narciso Rodriguez.
Narciso Rodriguez.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really last on me, and I feel like you guys can't even smell it when I come in every day.
It's very subtle.
But not overpowering, right?
I don't think it is.
Well,
it smells like Narciso Rodriguez.
He smells really good.
He's my favorite soccer player, and you smell like him.
Excellent. Well, now I smell like some man's cologne because we ran into a former coworker.
And he gave you a hug.
Yes, yep. And he had a lot of cologne on.
Yes. And now you smell a little like him.
Can you smell it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting very far away from you. I'm here every day. Do you usually smell me like this?
Not like this, no. This
God,
is much more pronounced.
How much cologne do men put on?
You got to be careful with that. It's a slippery slope with the cologne.
Right. You just want to put, Kevin and I, every morning, we put just a little dab behind our ears.
Yep. A little dab will do you.
I give Bill a little spritzing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't wear
spritzing.
Cologne.
I haven't worn cologne since, boy, it's been about 30 years. It's been about 30 years. That's a long time, isn't it?
Doesn't Terry say, hey, we're going out, why don't you put some of that cologne on?
No, when I met her, now, for a while, I worked in Lincoln Mall. So on my way into work, I wouldn't buy cologne, but I would go to Carson's.
The samplers.
I would get a sampler every day, and I'd put on a different cologne every day. Some of them were successful, some of them were not. But then I settled on Polo.
That was a really clean, good smell.
I think so.
High school boyfriend, one of them wore that.
Is he wearing the Polo? Yeah. And I liked it, but then at some point she just said, you don't need it anymore, do you?
She said that to you?
Yeah. And I don't think I did need it anymore, so I stopped wearing it. That was the last time I wore it. That's about 30 years ago.
Because when we go out, I say to Jim, what, are you out of your cologne?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I haven't been wearing it. I work from home.
Right.
I don't need it.
Why would he need it just to be by himself every day?
But I like when he puts it on.
You don't want him turning himself on. You don't want him getting excited by his own aroma.
His, production would go up a lot. Just, he'd get a lot more done during the day.
Just from his aroma?
No, from turning himself on.
I know you used to work with her at WLS. Hi, Aroma, if you're listening.
But he wears Chanel Platinum Ego East, and I love the smell of
that.
What
does that smell like? I'm not familiar with that.
Like Jimmy Mac.
Oh, it does?
I can't describe it.
He should put out his own. Why doesn't he put out his own cologne?
Because it would smell outer spatial. That's what he could call it.
It would smell like a TIE fighter.
Yes. Kevin, do you wear cologne?
For like special occasions.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever smelled you smell like a cologne.
No, I
ever.
Mean, if I come, come to work, unless I think the last time I wore it was maybe at work, was the last Walk of Fame I might have spritzed a bit on.
Just a bit?
I'm a Mont
Blanc
guy.
Do you spritz and walk through it? Because that's what Jim does.
I have a
does.
Very specific routine. Okay.
So all right.
Here's what I do. I do one spritz in front of me, and I walk through it, and then do another one in front
How
of me.
How high? Like chest high?
Stomach to chest
okay.
region. I'm shirtless while doing this, like usually in the bathroom.
So you missed it a little bit.
Missed it in the air once, walk through.
And then walk through
missed
it.
Missed it in the air another time, walk through.
Forward both times
this
or
time,
forward and then backwards?
Yeah, this time I missed again, and I walk through, but as I walk through, I spin to the left.
Yeah.
That way it's catching my left side.
Yeah.
And then I do it again, and I spin to the right,
oh.
and then that's it.
Why don't you just move your arm to the left and to the right?
No.
Instead of twisting.
No, you're
spinning.
I think Kevin's onto something.
Because,
want it to be a production.
Yeah, and it's a nice gentle spritzing over my being, my person.
Yeah.
Instead of just blasting myself with it.
I used to just go to Earl Scheib and I'd give him my cologne, my Polo, and I'd go, I'm just going to walk through your business once, so just make this work for me.
Well, it was perfect because he could make your hoodie and jeans look like a suit.
Yeah.
He would just spray them.
Yeah, for $99.95. No ups, no extras. It seemed fair. It seemed like a decent price to me.
Jim does the same thing where he spritzes and walks through it, but it's about sternum high.
Oh.
So it's up here
That's
a little
higher
bit.
Higher than Kevin goes.
Yeah. And then it's funny because Michael's 18. He doesn't really wear cologne, but like for prom and for certain things, I'm like, why don't you use some of Dad's cologne? And I said, you know, how are you going to put it on? And it's the same thing. Dad taught me. You spritz and walk through it.
But a guy doesn't want to smell like his dad.
It's pretty... Dad's... Oh, God, this stinks.
Yeah.
I can't breathe.
It doesn't smell that. I mean, I'm
used to it.
It
doesn't smell bad, but it's...
It's a little thicker than you're used to.
It's not me.
But most guys, like, honestly, whatever cologne their dad wore, you're probably going to see a guy go in a different direction because you don't want to smell like your dad smells.
Bill.
I don't want to smell like Vitalis.
Right, because that's Vitalis. This is a Chanel Platinum Ego East. It's a nice smell.
You know which cologne I've thought about because of
you? High Karate?
No, not High Karate. It's you can't even black market. It's priced itself out of the market. You can't get it anymore for a decent price.
Shame.
You told me that your father-in-law wears some kind of a lime-based cologne.
Oh yeah, Royal Lime.
Royal Lime. So I've thought about that. I've considered that.
I might lick you after a giant glass of tequila. If that's the case,
See,
though.
That's my fear with getting this kind of cologne. I mean, I know you, but I don't want strangers to just start licking me. I don't want to be a human margarita.
It's called Royal Lime. I don't know if it's an aftershave or what, but he...
sounds good to me.
We used to get it...
I'm afraid I'd attract flies also in the summer.
No, it's tart.
Is it?
It's really... It's Brooks Brothers men's
high end.
Royal Lime, $48. It's not that expensive.
For how much? 48 ounces.
And it,
$1 an ounce. Is there a sweetness tax on it?
No. And can I tell you the way it's spelled? Because it drives me nuts. When I purchase this is my father-in-law wears it all the time. So for years, it would be like that was just a given for Christmas. He needed it every year. I knew
it's
he wanted
a solid
it.
Gift.
Well,
I
it's
liked it.
Spelled R O Y A L L. And then lime, L Y M E. It's like Lyme disease. Why would anybody buy that? $48 for 4 ounces.
Wow, that's expensive. I'll just spray myself with real limes.
An all-purpose lotion eau de toilette is derived from authentic island formula.
You talked me back into it. I was out for a minute, and then I went, wow, they're using the original island formula?
Yeah, it's not loading any more information here, but reviews say it's pretty good. It is the fragrance notes in it, because that's what they do now. So first of all, you can read every fragrance note you want. When you try something on, and I sometimes go to Nordstrom to try on new perfume, it smells different on every person.
That's your body chemistry.
Yeah, so you need to try it and walk away for a while, and maybe the next day try something different. But the fragrance notes in Royal Lime, Brooks Brothers Royal Lime, is lime oil, blended with rare oils from all over.
It's too vague. I want to know what they are. Could I borrow some of your father-in-law's Royal Lime just to see if it works for me?
Yeah, that wouldn't be too weird. Hey, Papa, could you put a little in a pill container?
I wouldn't have to call him Papa, would I?
No.
You would call him Papa.
Yeah, it is.
Just ask him. I know he gets it 4 ounces at a time. I want like an eighth of an ounce just to see if it works for me.
He's not a drug dealer.
I'd say he was a drug dealer. He was a Rolling Stone, wasn't he?
No, Papa was a Rolling Stone.
That's what
I get it. I'm trying to think of what, I can't find the description of it, but it's like barber soap kind of thing. It's just like really clean and with a little hint of citrus.
But
it's not really
lime cologne. But you can tell that it's lime, right? Because that's what I like. I like lime. And vanilla, I told you, vanilla is dangerous around me. I go, if Terry, for a little while, she had something that had a hint of vanilla in it, and it just turned me into an animal. I just love vanilla. I was nuts for vanilla.
I recently heard about perfumes and colognes that are like unisex. So my best friend and his girlfriend, they wear the same thing together.
Yeah. That's Calvin Klein, I think CK1 is something like that. One meaning...
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I can't even have like vanilla crunch Cheerios because I just get crazy.
Stop it with the vanilla.
I don't know what it is about vanilla. It just gets me all ramped up. I love it.
If you've been searching for a new cologne that won't make you smell like a teenager or an old man, you'll be more than happy with one of the scents from the 53-year-old American-made heritage brand Royal Lime Bermuda. That's Bermuda.
I can't even, like, if I'm at Jewel, if there's Nilla wafers, I can't go down that aisle. I've been asked by the officials at Juul to please not do that. And I try my best, Wendy, to abide by that, but boy, that smell.
The Royal Lime Bill is a solid masculine scent, so you shouldn't wear it.
No, it's not for me. I'll let somebody else wear it. I'll just stand by somebody else who has it on.
No, it's a solid masculine scent. Imagine if a pine tree grew limes and you poured cinnamon all over it.
It says that in the brochure?
Well, it says it on this...
On the website?
No, on someone's review of it.
No.
Go ahead.
No, if you're ever by a Brooks Brothers, can't you just go try some?
I'm going to try that. That's the only place you get it is at Brooks Brothers? I think there's one in Northbrook. Maybe I'll go there. Kevin, you want to go there with me?
Sure.
All right.
Bill, what if you walked into a house and they had a vanilla air freshener type of situation?
I would have to be watched because I would be. Huh. I would have no control. I don't know what it is about vanilla. It just appeals to me.
Tell them the story about what you did when you kept. You were smelling a scent that was liver. Driving you nuts. It's so weird.
This is like it's almost science fiction. Because none of this makes sense. It happened to me, but it still doesn't make sense. Every year in November, just before my birthday, like 2 weeks before my birthday, I would get the smell of liver, and I couldn't escape the smell. No matter what I would do, everywhere I would go, I would smell it, and it would drive me crazy. This would happen for about 3 or 4 weeks a year. And like a lot of times, this is terrible, but sometimes there's certain smells that if you smell them nonstop, they think you had a stroke or something.
Well, it's burning toast, I thought, burning was toast the one. Is not one. Liver.
And it's never liver, but for me, like no matter what would happen.
It's never liver.
No.
That's your mantra.
I say that all the time. So whatever would happen, like I'd go, is there liver nearby? Because I can't shake the smell. So I thought, I got to try something to get rid of the smell of liver. And we had just started a new job. You and I had started mornings at Q101. And we were going to meet the bosses at Q101. So right before I went in, I put vanilla underneath my nose to mask the smell of liver so that I would smell something pleasant and not something that I didn't want to smell. And it had this weird effect underneath my nose. And it looked like I had snorted cocaine, which I've never done ever. And I won't ever do it. And then one of the salespeople at Q101 said to me, you got a problem. If you're going to work here, you have to have this taken care of. You can't work here and be snorting cocaine. And I said, no, it's vanilla.
What kind of, was it like vanilla air freshener? What, it wasn't vanilla cologne that you put under your nose.
It was some kind of room deodorizer that I just thought.
Not meant to go on your skin.
No, you're not supposed to put it on your skin. But I didn't know that. I thought I was a genius because I thought I figured out how to get rid of that vanilla or add vanilla to the liver.
And did it just smell like vanilla liver?
It didn't smell. I can't describe the smell.
Did the vanilla help?
Yeah, it made it a little bit better. But then everybody thought that I was, drugs. And I wasn't using drugs.
You had a bit of a reaction.
Yeah, underneath my nose, it got all red and watery.
You're meeting the bosses for the first time.
I was a drug addict.
I had something similar happen in high school. Like, I had a reaction. It was like a cinnamon toothpaste. And wherever the toothpaste would foam around my lips, I would, maybe 2 hours later when I'm already at school, it would get all red.
Oh,
I had, a clown mouth.
Yeah.
You were the original Joker.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was really, scarring almost for me.
Yeah, yeah. Embarrassing.
I was very
that guy's
fragile.
Really cute, except for the Joker's mask.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't go away quickly either. It lasted for at least an hour.
Oh, that's terrible.
I had to stop using it.
Eventually.
Right.
Not right away. You got to wean yourself off of that.
Oh, Bill, you are a piece of work. Yep. But you still like vanilla despite that thing that it did to you.
I like it even. I appreciate it more now because I know that there's peril. Well, there's perils to anything. You know that. But, use it sparingly and always follow your physician's orders when it comes to stuff like that.
And remember, it's never liver. Is that what you said?
Never liver. Yeah.
If you are by a Brooks Brothers, though, I think there is one in Northbrook Court. Just next time you're there, just go in and spray a little and see if you like it.
See if it works for me.
It's really clean.
And the citrusy is very appealing to me. Judy, I know you can't stay, but I have a question that stems from one of your stories. You told this, and it's a weird story about this Northwestern professor.
Yes.
It's he and it's another professor. And
they're on the land.
Right. there are suspects in this murder, this kid who got shot. So allegedly, they then drove to Wisconsin and they made a donation to a library in this kid's name. Was the purpose of this to make it seem as though the kid made this donation to the library?
Yeah, that was my first reaction.
Or was it because they felt bad and said, we got to do something nice for this kid?
We don't know.
Nobody knows yet.
Nobody knows the motivation, but it could
Boy,
be either
or. Boy, is this a strange story.
Yeah. I've been to that library in Lake Geneva. It's just
Have
so
you?
Weird.
Yeah.
So maybe they're up in the Wisconsin area.
So has anybody hinted at what sort of a tie-in there is between the kid and the two professors, or that has not happened yet?
I'm sure they know whether or not the kid had the professor.
Well, I'm sure they know more than we do,
But they're
not releasing information, which they do a lot.
Right.
You
know, which they shouldn't do because,
Especially until they're caught. But yeah, so then all the, I know that you're asking me about the speculation, which I do not know.
Okay.
And generally do not deal in.
In speculation?
No.
I do.
Yeah, Wendy and I, that's our hobby.
That's what
Show
we
hosts,
do.
Yeah, very, very
you speculate.
Much.
Yeah. All right.
There's no fake news coming from
no.
the
news
room.
No.
No. No.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Have
a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. You're going to be at Lollapalooza today or tomorrow?
No, I performed last night, and it wasn't what I
saw you that was pouring on stage, and you were still performing alongside Lord.
I did.
Good Lord.
Right. That's the name of the band that she and I put together with Good Lord.
When Bill's there, it becomes
project.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Our reviews were not good.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jude. Did you see, Wendy, that Dunkin' Donuts is considering changing its name?
No, but what is this, your donut report? Because yesterday you were intrigued by the Krispy Kreme Reese's donut.
I've talked to some radio consultants, and they say that the number one topic that people want to discuss on a daily basis is donuts. I said, what about sports? What about traffic? What about weather? What about politics? They go, those are all good, but the one thing that everybody really wants to discuss on a daily basis is donuts.
All right, tell me, what is Dunkin' Donuts going to change their name to? Because it's a perfect name.
This isn't definite yet, but they may just call it Dunkin'. Because that will fool us. Because if
they
we
have
hear,
way more than donuts,
they
now.
Have a lot more than donuts.
Breakfast
they have bagels,
sandwiches.
They have breakfast sandwiches, they have coffee.
Culottas.
Yeah, they have all that. So in the old days when it was just donuts and they were made on premises, they're not anymore.
Doesn't that break your heart?
Yeah, I'm surprised by it.
We worked at another location and there was a Dunkin' Donuts over there and I would come in very early in the morning when the time to make the donuts guy should be making donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see a truck pull up with mm-hmm. trays of donuts and walk in and put those giant trays on display.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Our Dunkin' Donuts still makes them in Countryside.
Do they?
They still make them.
And you can tell the difference, can't you?
Well, I see them making them. I mean, you can see back in the kitchen. There are some that do make their own. But I'm telling you, if you don't get there by 7 in the morning, they're stale already.
Yeah. Now, when you and I were growing up, back in the wilderness days, the old wilderness mm-hmm. days, wasn't it kind of a rule that if you had a Dunkin' Donuts, that was going to be a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts? The ones by me were always open day and night.
Not me.
No? Huh. I always thought they were all 24 hours. Now, almost none of them are 24 hours.
I don't recall any of them being 24 hours when I was
really?
Growing up. And I was the only one who liked the Dunkin' Donut,
the
namesake, because it was just a plain cake donut with no frosting or anything, and there was like a little nib on it, and it's so you could hold it and dip it in your milk or coffee or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And then they did away with those.
Because why?
I don't know. I think it's stupid. I liked the little nib. I think what happened is one of the nibs accidentally broke off, and they realized, oh my God, these are munchkins now.
Oh, that was the beginning of the end.
No, they're just the donut holes.
The first time I ever had donut holes, do you remember a restaurant? I'm sure it's long gone.
Elliot's?
No, the Branding Iron?
Yes, I remember that. And there was Elliot's Kitchen in Lyons that had the
they
donut
also
holes,
had donut
too.
Holes?
And if you ever go to Juicy O to this day, they will give
I'll
you
them.
Fresh donuts, donut holes.
I want to say the Branding Iron was fairly close to Ford City Shopping Center. It was right around there. And we went there for dinner one night, but mostly because they had donut holes, because the idea of that to us was just so exciting. So, yeah,
because you got something for nothing. That's a great little thing.
I'm trying to remember. at what part of the meal you were given donut holes, would that have been as an appetizer?
Well, that's what I'm concerned with.
Was it just on the
when you sat down, I think it was instead of bread, you got the donut holes.
Oh, how good is that? Yeah, we went there for dinner one night, and it was because my dad said a coworker of his had been there, and he told us. Now, keep in mind, this is before Dunkin' Munchkins were common, so
it was.
We sat like our chins were in our hands, and we're listening, and we're trying to envision how fantastic this would be to have a
holes of donuts.
We're going tomorrow, so we went and. The meal was fine, but the donut holes lived up to expectations. They were really, really good. And then Dunkin' Donuts, like 3 or 4 years later, Dunkin' Munchkins showed up, and it wasn't a big deal anymore.
If you get them fresh, they are really good. I mean, I used to get them for the kids all the time, and then now that they're grown up, I don't really ever get them. But if I'm at a kid party or something, which sometimes I like to crash.
You just show up at kids' parties?
Yeah, just to see if they have munchkins, because they are pretty good.
That seems odd.
Maybe I'll bring some munchkins in for us.
All right.
The three of us.
Who used to do the Dunkin' Munchkin commercials? Was it Mason Reese? I know he did Borgeschmord for Underwood Deviled Ham. But
I'm the only one who liked that Underwood Deviled Ham, too.
I couldn't eat that.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Really?
It was like a ham salad with just chopped up ham. It was really good.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like cat food a little bit. I'll give that to you. But it tasted better.
So was it just slightly better? So was it him or was it Rodney Allen Rippey?
Ooh.
Because Rodney Allen Rippey was always in commercials like that for a product that was sugary and delicious. But it was one of those kind of kids, or maybe Moosey Dreyer. Remember him?
Boy, you're bringing up all the blasts from the past.
All my favorite
actors.
Who
are now as old as we are.
I know.
Which is funny.
I know. So over on MSN, as they break the news that in one West Coast location, they've changed the sign that for years and years and years, this is in Pasadena, California, for years and years it said Dunkin' Donuts, and now it just simply says Dunkin'. Similar lettering, similar logo, but just the word Dunkin'. So the speculation is that this is just the first of many that will now be called just Dunkin', all-encompassing.
I think the one I went to already just says Dunkin'.
It just says Dunkin'?
Yeah, and it was Mason Reese.
Mason Reese was the one?
1975 to 1976.
Yeah.
He did the Dunkin' Munchkin commercials.
So they, at MSN, talk about other businesses that similarly change their name just a little bit. Now, most of them will come to you right away. Like for a long time, it was Kentucky Fried Chicken. But then the word fried all of a sudden scared some people off. So they said, well, the word fried will not be written out anymore. We'll just say KFC.
Yeah, but we all know what KFC stands for. So
right.
I didn't realize that's why they got rid of it. I thought they just were hipping it up a little bit.
Well,
have you seen the new television commercial, by the way? They've had all these different Colonel Sanders, you know, celebrities.
Yeah.
Well, now they have the original Colonel Sanders in an old, grainy picture television commercial.
The real guy, Harlan Sanders.
Yes.
The real guy.
And then the kids in the background, like, he's like, hey, kids, do you want some chicken? They have these kids that have, like, piercings, and, like, they've updated the kids, but it's still grainy.
Yeah.
My son Michael pointed this out to me. It's really funny.
That does sound funny.
It's like, you know, like a goth girl and her hair's purple and she's like, yeah, I want some chicken, but they've dubbed it in and it's all grainy, but it's the original
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
The very first, and some would say best. Along the lines of KFC changing their name, this one isn't on the list, but I remember this. When we were kids, there was a breakfast cereal called Sugar Smacks, but then all of a sudden, Kellogg's changed its name from Sugar Smacks to Dig'em Smacks because parents could be potentially turned off by the word sugar in the title of their cereal, but no one knows what a Dig'em is, so you could just put a word in there, Dig'em Smacks.
What is it?
Now it's safe.
That wasn't the frog's name.
But the frog would say it all the time. Dig'em meaning I enjoy them. That Dig'em is frog for I enjoy
them. He was so hip.
Yes, he was.
Frogs in general are hip.
I only eat cereal if I know frogs enjoy it.
Frog approved?
I will sit down with a frog and I'll say, I want you to try this. And if you like it, I'll eat it. And if not...
Do they make those anymore? Because those were good.
Dig'em Smacks? I haven't seen them in a long time. It's possible. What is it about? There's something about frogs in advertising, because to this day, I don't understand why Budweiser had a hit with those frogs that said Budweiser. Like, why? What was it about us as a country that needed that to happen for us to go, now that's a beer? Those frogs in the middle of the
pond.
Well,
because it sounded like what a frog would say. Mm. I don't think frogs are...
But remember, like, what a big... That was like a cultural... But why? What did you laugh at it? You did?
I don't know that I laughed, but I was like, wow.
Frogs
do
like...
Do you laugh at anything?
Yeah.
Not froggy, though. Nothing froggy.
Nothing frog-related. That's where I draw the line.
All right, well...
Nothing amphibious.
Kentucky Fried Chicken went to KFC, which... I really didn't think it had anything to do with the word fried, because we still know what it is. Like Arby's, you know that means America's roast beef, yes, sir.
But I...
What? Are you serious?
Do not know that?
My mind is blown. I had no idea.
I've heard that, but I don't know that it's true. I've heard it, but
they had old commercials before.
Yeah.
And it's like, Arby's is America's roast beef, yes, sir.
All right, now here's what I heard. This is what I heard. The truth was...
Let's go to Snopes.
The guy who invented Arby's initials are R&B. It's like Robert Bradford or something.
Well,
so
yeah, but I mean, it's still, you know, they made a campaign that it stood for that.
But it didn't, I mean, it didn't read, I mean...
It was on their sign.
Yeah, but I think that was a tack on later. I think the initial story makes more sense, but
that's
then...
fine. I'm just saying it stands for that.
Oh, well...
Kevin never heard
but
that.
But as an afterthought.
Yeah, by the way, the smacks are still around with the frog, but they are now called honey smacks.
Oh, that's right.
That sounds awful.
No, because honey's good for you, even though that's, you know, still pretty sweet.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because roast beef, yes, sir.
But that's not, that wasn't the
initial. I
don't
mean it was the original. You are such a logo snob.
I am a logo snob. Yes, I am. I'm proud to be a logo snob, Wendy, because I'm a, you know, I'm a sentinel for America. I don't want the wrong logo thrown at anybody.
The name is, of course, a play on roast beef, and the name of the founding Raphael Brothers.
The Raphael Brothers, that's your RB.
In the 1980s, an ad said RB stands for America's Roast Beef, yes, sir. It never really caught on. I'm the only one who remembers it.
I remember it. I just don't remember it being effective. You know, it was just kind of there. It didn't make me want to go to Arby's.
I love a good Arby's.
Yeah.
Just your basic.
Yeah.
Do you do horsey sauce or?
No.
Arby's sauce?
No. I do it as a cologne. I don't do it as a condiment.
I stink. I smell like a man's cologne.
Why did International House of Pancakes just go to IHOP? Why would they do that? Was that just money, the time-saving thing?
Because it's hipper. And it really wasn't international. Yeah, they had blueberry service, but God.
Oh, I felt like I was in Belgium when I was in there.
How about it?
I used to bring my family, my mom and dad, Wendy, would insist that my brother and I bring our passports when we would go there. It was so authentic.
There was one, I think, in LaGrange for many years, and the kids were little, and I hated going to it because try as they may, they could not unstickify those booths.
Right.
I'm sorry, you have five different types of syrup on your table.
I know.
Of course it's going to be sticky, but I hated going there because you'd slide in the booth, you couldn't slide out, your hands would stick to the table.
We, on a trip to Wisconsin once, we had to leave my cousin Jeff there because he was so sticky. We just couldn't get him out of the booth. They had at some, I don't know if this was always the way, but at some International House of Pancakes, you would get your four basic syrups. But I was at least one or two where they had a thing of like 8 or 10 different kind of syrups. Like they went really exotic on the syrup.
And did you ever use anything? Because
Yeah, the boysenberry was...
I liked maple.
Yeah, well, maples, that comes with the kit. You're always going to get maple syrup.
That's the only one I want. And if I'm getting like blueberry pancakes or something,
yeah,
I'd put the blueberry on it. You got to match your berries.
No, there's something to that. I'm not arguing that. There was something to the architecture of the International House of Pancakes because it was always fun. You'd see this every once in a while. Like a International House of Pancakes would go out of business and a new business would go into that location, but you couldn't mistake, the roof would come down to almost the ground level. So, like, I remember there was one place that sold guns. Where was I where it was a gun shop, but you could tell it used to be an International House of Pancakes? It's just like, how could you take yourself seriously going in and selling firearms knowing that people had just had waffles there a short time ago? It just seemed weird.
Wow, that is pretty weird.
Yeah, you could never rebound. That was one, and then the other one, do you remember Golden Bear Restaurants?
Yes, vaguely.
They also had a very peculiar style of architecture that when you'd see, when it was something else, like there was one near me that became a library, but it still looked like a golden bear. So I couldn't read in there because I just felt it felt wrong.
I am sorry. I am. Do you know who was in America's Roast Beef Yesterday commercial? Because this will blow your mind, Bill.
Somebody, all right, give me.
DJs love Arby's. It looked like.
You and I love Arby's. You and I love America's roast beef. Yes, sir. VIPs love Arby's. DGSs love Arby's.
They DGS? Have... What does that mean? What's a DGS?
I didn't see it. Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy loves Arby's.
Yeah, they
really?
Had...
Was that a lyric?
Yeah, America's roast beef, yes, sir. It was in 1981.
They're being presumptuous, because I don't remember either Laurel or Hardy.
Ollie?
I know. I can't remember
Let's
any.
Let's go to Arby's.
They just made that up. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was 1981 and very lame. And the DJ at the beginning, it's just so funny. It's DJs love Arby's.
Sure. That'll win people over.
And it looked like Wolfman Jack, but it wasn't.
Oh.
I thought that's who it was. I got all excited for a minute.
Help me with this, because I'm trying to remember the chronological order of this. Before Arby's were Arby's, weren't most of them Roy Rogers places?
I don't think I ever saw a Roy Rogers restaurant.
Oh, you didn't? The last surviving Roy Rogers, I think, was in Woodfield Mall. They used to be, they were never like everywhere, but if you drove a little while, you'd find a Roy Rogers. But I think most Roy Rogers places, I think, became Arby's. I'm not positive, but I think that was the case.
I didn't know that. And are Roy Rogers still around now?
I would be surprised. The one that we would go to every once in a while when I was a kid had a giant statue of Trigger. Because that made you hungrier. If you see a giant horse statue, I would like to eat more, please.
It's was founded by the Marriott Corporation.
Oh, it was? Yeah.
And I'm at their store locator, Roy Rogers Restaurant.
Are they all gone?
No.
There are still some?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Let's see if there's any. Not in Illinois. Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia.
But that's still quite a few of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time where there were hundreds and hundreds of them. You never went to one ever?
Uh-uh.
Did you ever go to Burger Chef?
I don't know if I did or I'm just remembering your excitement for Burger Chef and Jeff.
Burger Chef and Jeff. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think maybe that was before. Could that have been before Burger King?
At about the same time as Burger King.
I don't think I ever went to a Burger
Chef.
The
rise of Burger King and Burger Chef were about the same. What about Wuv's? Did you ever go to those?
No.
You don't remember that? That was a chain that started, I want to say, in Florida, somewhere in the South. And then kind of expanded. And we had a few of them here. There was one by me in Lincoln Mall. Not in Lincoln Mall, down the street a little bit.
Wuv's?
Yeah, W-U-V-S, Wuv's.
That's a dumb name. Wuv's Restaurant.
I Wuv's Hamburgers.
They didn't say
their,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Everyone Wuv's Hamburgers.
That worked?
No, they didn't last long.
Oh, wait, I have this here.
Someday I'd make the perfect hamburger that everyone would applaud. I'm proud to say that I've done that. Don't take my word for it. Taste and see. I'm Jack Penrod, president of Wuv's Restaurants. We're pretty fussy, my team and I, because we care. Wuv's features a nice variety of favorite American food. Chicken, salad bar, cookies, and a great biscuit breakfast. Make it Wuv's the next time you're hungry. I could stand a little more applause.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 20 South Florida locations.
Yeah, South Florida. That's where
they
started.
I've never heard everybody Wuv's burgers.
Yeah, they in some of their ads, they would say, who doesn't Wuv a hamburger? Or something like that. It was really lame.
Lums, I remember.
Lums were great.
On the way to Florida.
Lums were fine. Those were so good.
But they were hot dogs boiled in beer. That was their deal. Or steamed in beer.
Yep. Wuv's was the first one to do the fast food salad bar. Like, no one else had it.
That did seem very exciting in the commercial.
Oh, it was unprecedented, because it was like the early 1970s, and it was so, like, salad bars were just becoming a thing in regular restaurants, so for a fast food place to have one, it was amazing to people to just stare at the, look, you can get croutons in a fast food restaurant. We're in heaven.
Salad bar was pretty exciting the first time I got to do one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, because you could choose the dressing you wanted. You know, at our house, it was always oil and vinegar.
Yeah.
My mom would just make the salad for everybody. And luckily, I love oil and vinegar.
But if you didn't.
Yeah, you were out of luck.
Yeah.
So this was like, oh, my gosh.
Things are good. Things are very good.
Now I'm hungry. I want to go to a nice salad bar.
I want to quickly promote Monday's episode of the Donut Report. We'll do this on Monday. I don't know why. Like, because after the show was over yesterday, I thought that was silly to talk about how I can't get this out of my head. But then the more yesterday went on, the more I thought about this Reese's peanut butter donut.
So did you go get one?
No, but we drove around. I was with Terry most of the night, and then Reese was with us for a little bit. And I told them about it, and they didn't have the same enthusiasm for it that I did. Because I said, let's go find one. But they, you know, they're like adults, and they're like, no, we don't need to do that. But if it was just me, I would have found one.
Well, I know that Stan's Donuts has one very similar, because they have a peanut butter one that...
Do you know how loyal Reese is? My daughter Reese is so loyal to Stan's Donuts that when I brought this up, she goes, what place has this? And because it wasn't Stan's, she didn't want any part of it. And I'm like that with certain things, too. I'm very loyal to certain things, but she just loves Stan's Donuts. So the fact that it wasn't Stan's, she's out.
Didn't you take her to Stan's? Because they have, I don't know if it's Reese's, but they have a peanut butter donut that looks like the same thing. And they probably did it first with the peanut butter inside and then chocolate on top.
Maybe. All right.
You get a donut for yourself this weekend, please, so you can purge this donut love from
I know.
Your-
And I'm not usually like that. Like,
no.
I'm fine with donuts. I don't go out of my way. But for some reason, just
2 days in a row,
seeing the picture of this, and now all this commotion with Dunkin' Donuts changing their name.
Do you love donuts?
Everyone loves donuts, Wendy. Don't be ridiculous. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll tell you that we don't have any more time. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We've timed this out to. Almost to the second. If I'd shut up, it would have been 10 seconds ago.
No, you did fine. Everything's fine. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a great weekend.
Are you going to Northbrook Court with Kevin to get your royal lime?
We're thinking about it. Kevin and I have talked about it. We might go.
I'm busy.
That's better than Lollapalooza. Come on, going shopping with
right.
Bill.
You're actually right.
I feel so bad those kids and adults, too, are out there in tank tops and stuff because they bought all their concert wear before.
They're on drugs and alcohol, so they don't feel it.
It's cold out there, man. I love this weather. I'm ready for fall. Bring it on.
Wendy, luckily, I have an Afghan booth set up at Lollapalooza.
Are the Afghan Whigs playing at your booth?
They've said they might stop by, but I hope to make a killing this weekend. Because of the inclement weather.
Afghans.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're out of time. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.